Alright, so we should introduce ourselves, starting on my left.
Aunt Larry, produced the movie with John Davison.
I'm Jerry Zucker. To my right is...
David Zucker. I wrote the movie with Jerry and Jim.
And I'm Jim
Abrams. Hi, and I'm John Davison.
And I'm Fred Rubin.
And that would be...
Omar Sharif.
Famous Omar Sharif.
Now, another famous Paramount picture, Sullivan's Travels by Preston Sturges, started off with a fight on top of a train. It's probably where the similarities end, however.
That's right. We should at some time we have to tell our Omar Sharif dinner story.
This is a good time.
In his last day of filming, we invited Omar Sharif to dinner, and he accepted. And we were so excited that Omar Sharif was going to come to dinner at our apartment in London. And we hired a chef.
A butler.
And Hunt bought incredible wine.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us about this dinner, Hunt?
It was a massive dinner with three or four courses, with the souk, the seafood, the fine beef, a wine for every course. And we all put on a coat and tie, got dressed up, everyone came over.
With dinnerware.
And we waited, and we waited, and we waited, and we called the hotel, he checked out. So we had a nice dinner, but Omar was not there.
He never showed up, and later someone ran into him, and who knew about this, and asked him about it, and he said, well, in Egyptian culture, it's impolite to refuse anything. So if someone offers you a drink and you don't drink, you say, thank you very much, and you accept it, but you just don't touch it. And that's considered polite. So he would never turn down a dinner invitation.
We had a great dinner.
And he was the guest of honor.
Exactly.
The release have been cancelled, and we have doubled the guard around Dr. Flamand. And finally, all systems are in readiness or deployment of the plan.
I have that stamp.
Find him again.
No, I have that stamp.
Or do you have it? I was wondering where I put it.
There may have been two.
Are we going to get another shot of the ceiling when he leaves?
Yeah, I know the establishing shot. Okay. That was the foreground miniature.
So basically the ceiling is a miniature suspended just a few feet in front of the camera.
Yes, we learned how to do foreground miniatures.
Yeah. The ceiling is fake.
That's Jeremy Kronsberg?
No, Jeremy Kemp.
Jeremy Kemp?
Yeah.
Kemp. He cast him because he was a really scary villain, and unfortunately he was scary for the directors, too. No, but he's a good guy.
He was.
Intense guy.
He played a lot of Nazis, though.
Yeah.
The American Leonard Bernstein, unfortunately, has had to cancel. But they are sending another performer in his place. In fact, we have just received a copy of his most recent record.
What's this? This was one of the odder transitions in film history.
Yeah. We go straight to Nuki.
I'm sure you will be quite happy. As long as the attention...
The kids are watching this saying, what is that he's doing with
the... What is that wrong disc?
That's a big wrong disc. Period movie.
Germany will become united under one rule. Ours. After Sunday, there will be no one to stop us.
If everybody had a 12-gauge and a soup or two, you'd see them shooting and serving.
Where do we shoot this?
Nuki in Cornwall.
Yeah, in Cornwall.
Yeah.
That's dated.
The hard thing for people to believe is that this was in Great Britain. That this isn't Malibu.
The one sunny day in Nuki.
We got it.
We got a sunny day. Yeah.
But they do. They just look like Southern California beach kids.
Of 20 years ago.
It's too bad this hobby never quite caught on.
Oh, we had fun recording it, though.
And Flo and Eddie, remember?
Yeah.
From the old Turtles.
Flo
and Eddie.
Yeah. Wrote that song?
Yeah.
Now, here's the story of the ski surfing. We used to, Dave and Jerry and I used to play this game when we would go around doing interviews together. Because we couldn't think of anything interesting to say, and so we would make up stories, and the contest was to see who could get the biggest lie in print. And so one time we were doing interviews, I think in Europe, and
it was probably in
and
Deauville.
And one of us, and the rule when we played the game was you got to go along with whoever brings up starts a lie. And so they said, well, what do you guys do? That's right, we were in Deauville. And they said, what do you guys do in Southern California? And I think that was the origin of surfing.
Skeet surfing.
Where you ride on.
And so we explained the whole thing, and at the end, we just were waiting for the guy to say, come on, this is ridiculous. But he said, how do you keep the powder dry? Or
right.
Yeah, how do you keep the gun dry? Martin Burke, I just ran into him.
Oh yeah, we wrote this with Martin Burke.
Yeah. Because we needed somebody who knew about plot.
Yeah.
Frank Sinatra.
Oh, wow.
That was dated even then, I think.
No, it was kind of a Sinatra backlash in the early...
Oh, that was something. Yeah, with Linda Ronstadt?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Eine Blitz. A pen. Eine Flachmatuche. A table. Eine Flachmatuche. A table. Eine Blitz ist in der Flachmatuche.
It's one of those cerebral jokes.
Yeah. Because this is when there wasn't East Germany.
That's a good one.
You see, this movie really does need a commentary.
Yeah.
You see...
Come in.
Selbstgewachsen, der Zippele, mit der Kopf in Dreh.
That's just Yiddish we learned from our grandmother.
What did he say? Is any of the German in the movie authentic?
There may be some. No, some was authentic. Yeah. I think we did have some, actually, moments were translated correctly, but probably not that much.
And above all, remember, we've got to play by their rules. Martin, I've been practicing. How's this? Ist der Takt in Ochsen, bitte?
I think that's real German.
Speaking of Yiddish, I know you use it liberally in the movie. You were talking earlier, Jerry, about how you sometimes conceptualize jokes that you perfectly see in your head, but the audience doesn't quite get on board or they're not familiar. Do you do all this Yiddish for your relatives? Or?
A joke like that, I don't think we would ever do and expect everybody to get it. But that's a case where had we not used Yiddish, we would have just translated into German and it would have sounded the same. And so it wasn't a place where the audience was aware that we were trying to make a joke, except for the few people that would understand this. And so it was just funny when we'd screen the movie in front of an audience, you just occasionally hear one person laugh hysterically at
the joke here is that he's
dog bones.
Now I understand.
See, for anyone who had seen all of these old German World War II spy movies, this is great.
Good day.
Mich selber haben wir mal guten Worten listen.
What the hell did you say to him?
Nothing. I just told him I'd put his name on the Montgomery Ward mailing list.
Not quite.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Whoops.
I'm sure they get better.
Wouldn't say...
Your attitude is being noted, Mr. Weathers.
I think that glass crashing was added.
Yeah, that was added in post.
Later.
This was good.
Oh, yes.
No, this is elaborate.
Right. Yeah. That's bizarre.
That tree was on a cable being pulled by a car, and it was a slut man that jumps on.
This makes no sense. This makes no sense.
I want a schnauzer with my Wiener Schnitzel.
No, that's a good joke. A language.
Yeah. Didn't Spielberg do this in Raiders of the Lost Ark?
It's true.
Yeah. Sally did this animation, right?
My wife, yeah. Sally Crookshank.
This is state of the art at the time.
There you go.
We got permission to use the Pac-Man characters.
Now, Pac-Man was a video game.
Yeah.
That was a very early 80s.
Yeah.
Video game.
Von unserer Zeremonie. Und weil wir so froh sind zu willkommen, berühmte Gäste von der ganzen Welt in unsere Stadt, wollen wir euch übergeben die Schlüssel von unserer Stadt. Und die Schlüssel werden übergeben von der olympischen Mannschaft von Ostdeutschland.
It's a joke, it stands the test of time. Val was wearing sunglasses because he had a
Chilean.
Yeah.
Festival von Kunst in der Kulturhalle.
Oh, there's Omar.
How'd you get such a high-profile international star like Omar Sharif to come on board?
Gee, that's a good question.
John, how did we get
Omar? How did we get Omar?
Obviously, we were thrilled.
I remember we paid him.
Yeah.
Did you have anybody else in mind for the role?
You know, I don't really recall at the time. I know that when the name of Omar Sharif came up, it seemed perfect. It's one of those things where we thought, you know, we'd never get him, but let's make the call. And I think there are a lot of actors who, despite their great dramatic body of work and ability, love the idea of playing a silly part in a comedy.
And just because they never get asked to do that.
Exactly, because they want to do something completely different, and probably something you never try it again, but he was great. He was just a great sport about it all. I mean, there are a lot of people. I mean, who would have thought that we'd get Maurice Jarre to write the score?
Right.
But he also has a great sense of humor, loved this script and this kind of comedy. And
Peter Cushing.
Was happy to have Peter Cushing, yeah.
Yeah.
Here, this is one of our most popular titles.
We had to send all those extras from around the corner.
Exactly, we were going back and forth. Yeah. Oh, we're such a good sport.
Yeah. We just don't invite him to your party.
That's right.
Yeah.
Here. Try this. This will make you very popular at social gatherings. Go tonight to the valley. Here, use this ticket. You will meet the leader of the resistance, a man known as the Torch. Until then, wait at the Howard Johnson's. It's on the corner of the Führerstrasse and Goebbels Platz. Good luck, kind sir, and God be with you.
Wait. You dropped your phony dog poo.
What phony dog poo?
Souvenirs, novelties, party tricks. Souvenirs, novelties. The end of our ceremony, when we are singing unsere national hymne.
Now, this is the our high school anthem.
The music is,
yeah.
Nobody gets it, but
that's for like 671 people.
Right.
Driver, why are we stopped here? This isn't the Howard Johnson's.
What happened to Omar? We didn't even use a dummy in that car.
Geschlafen.
Yeah, it's go to sleep in Yiddish.
This is a set we built on one of the largest stages at Pinewood. Peter Lamont was our production designer, who's done almost all of the James Bond pictures.
Who later won the Oscar, did he not?
Yes, Titanic.
Titanic.
And that's our sister, Susan, just briefly, on the right.
Sound effect added here.
Gum doesn't normally
when touching back.
Ah, yes. Mr. Evers. I have it right here. But I'm afraid we require a jacket and tie for the dining room. If you like, we would be very happy to provide you with one.
Oh, that'll be fine.
Now, did we ever shoot, or we never, and Cutter, do we never shot? Wasn't there a bit where they're trying, he goes on and they're fitting him, and the tailor
is in the background. It's in the background, they're fitting him.
Yeah.
I have your table ready.
I don't remember the last time I saw it. Yeah. I thought it was cut. Oh, there it is.
There he is.
Son of a gun.
Yeah, you should get a bigger TV.
Never mind that then.
Perhaps Comrade Biletnikov will be persuaded to sing for us this evening. I will take care of it.
Thank you.
Nick, I'm sorry I won't be able to join you for dinner tonight. I'm coming down with a sore throat, so I've decided to turn in early. Don't forget, you have to be at the theater at 8:30.
This doesn't help at all.
Don't worry about it, Martin. Why don't you go up to your room and get some sleep? Is there anything you need?
Oh, no thanks. I just wanted to make sure you got those new arrangements.
Oh, yeah, I got them right here.
By the way, I ordered that 84 Ripple Blanc for you that they recommended. It's very good.
Thanks.
I remember I went to Ireland once during the time we were there.
Huh?
Well, that reminds me of another story. the assistant director who fell asleep. Barry
Langley.
Barry Langley.
Well, I remember that because we had to go wake up Hunt and say, Hunt, go wake up Barry.
And I did.
Jerry would realize that, you know, suddenly everything would get quiet on the set and nobody would be doing anything.
And I would walk up to Barry and say, Barry, what's happening? And he all of a sudden go, well, I guess we're ready now then. Well, I think we're ready. Yeah. Just finishing the light and we're ready to go.
John, this may be a question for you. The cheap wine joke, where you poured the cheap wine into the goblet and it just disintegrated. How'd that work?
You know, that's unfair to John. I think we've all had our bouts with cheap wine. And just to single out John.
That's really the reason there were three directors. It was the cheap wine problem on the film. I didn't want to mention it. But it's just your basic sixth grade chemistry experiment, you know.
It was just like acid or... some plastic thing that just disintegrated when the wine was poured in?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, not only that, I think if you watch closely, you can see that there's a jump cut in there, and somebody walks in front of the camera, and during that there's a jump cut, and before the guy passes in front of the camera, you see the wine glass full, and afterwards, after he passes through, you see it's leaking and everything, so I'll just go like
Just
that.
Just take your phone.
It's noir. It's...
Yeah, okay. That's okay.
Excuse me, but this lady is with me.
Ah, Mr. Rivers. 1,000 pardons, madame.
After you, my dear. You're just in time. You know,
this is Val's first movie. And we met Val in New York. He was in a stage play called Slab Boys. Remember that with Kevin Bacon?
Oh, yeah, right.
And
very serious.
Big gas, yeah.
Yeah. And it was sort of interesting for many reasons working with Val. There's this tendency to classify him as the stereotypical pretty blonde. And he isn't and wasn't anything in reality like that stereotype. He was really a quite bright, kind of complicated guy.
He sings and moves really well. Did you always have him in mind for the role? Were you thinking?
We never knew who he was.
I mean, this was his first totally unknown
film. So someone
made a tape for us, and we said, okay, well, he can sing.
So this was his very first movie.
Yeah.
He had done a television piece before this, but this was his first film. Yeah. But he's since gone on, to play God and Prince of Egypt. So
pretty good training ground for Jim Morrison.
Yeah, that's right.
Now the dance in the fancy restaurant is one of the silliest dances I've ever seen in a movie. Was it hard to get the cast to not crack up while they were doing it?
I think by the time they, you know, the 17th take comes around, they've done it, and after dozens of rehearsals, I think it's just not funny anymore to them. So
now, it was obviously choreographed by a professional, but did you guys have a lot of moves that you wanted to put in there yourselves?
Yeah, and of course, and we did. We worked with the choreographer, Jillian Gregory.
Yes,
the choreographer Jillian Gregory, who is spectacular. But yeah, there was a lot of discussion and tinkering with that.
I know a little German. He's sitting over there.
There's a pun.
Oh, a little German, yes.
Was recommenden?
Uns funken der Flicken, ein Meter Pflanzen, lief ein der Kuchen. Ich bin euch.
So, what was the budget of this movie? Do you remember the whole thing? It was $6 million?
It was seven.
Seven. Yeah. Yeah. It was budgeted $8 million and it came in $1 million under.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, how could it not be in profit?
From the cable and TV alone.
Each movie we did was twice the budget of the previous.
It's a German name. It means she whose bosoms defied gravity.
I'm pleased to meet you. My name's Nick.
Just a movie buff question. The German who was supposed to sing in the scene, Biletnikov, he does a funny beard wipe. Was that homage to Edmund Gwynn?
Who's Edmund Gwynn?
Santa Claus and...
I can say with some certainty, no. I answered for both David and Jim.
I remember arguing for an homage. And,
to Edmund Gwynn.
Edmund Gwynn.
That's right.
There was something else about a top secret too. There's a scene in the scene in the restaurant, and one of the reviews said it was an homage to The Last Supper. Am I right? David, you read.
People are constantly asking us whether we're
in Kentucky Fried Movie. Some review said that how brilliant it was that we had the villain. Dr. Klon speak unintelligibly.
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 Yeah.
I was misunderstood. I tripped over that one. But when we really never, that was his accent. That was just, you know, Master Han's accent.
People always seem to be looking for more double meanings or homages or references in are films that are never really there or
the most obscure reference was the John Connolly bit in Top Secret, you know, the very arcane Kennedy assassination reference.
They're gonna get us all.
They're gonna kill us all. Yeah. But that's the only one, and no one got that, so but people are certainly getting all the ones that we didn't intend.
Okay, watch your change in the same course.
Well, our moms are in this piece, yes. They're sitting at the table with you.
So that's Val singing. This was all done to playback. Rehearsed this with Jillian for several weeks and was very diligent about it. Really wanted to sell this musical aspect of the character. She knows just what to do. She knows how to love me, yes indeed. A boy don't know what to do to me, to the fruity, oh Rudy, to the fruity, oh Rudy, to the fruity. We had to build a special top to that piano so it would support him.
Oh, that's Dad.
Yeah.
The chicken,
the duck.
Yeah. And that's Mom.
Now, Mom's coming up.
That's both our moms,
right?
Jim's mom on the left, and David's and my mom on the right. right near Vale.
Her name Daisy. She almost drives me crazy. She rocked me to the east. She rocked me to the west. But she's the girl that I love best.
This was Val's first musical number in the movie, too. And we shot.
Oh, Rudy. To the Fruity. Oh, Rudy. To the Fruity. Oh, Rudy. Oh, wop, bop, a loo, bam, a lop, bam, boom.
It was good.
Yeah. Yeah. Good number.
Back to the story.
Yeah, back to the story.
So this interlude.
Has it always been a dream of yours to end a scene with your hog balls, sir?
That was just another desperate attempt to find a punchline to end the scene.
Exactly. I think we had a little trouble with scene enders. That's actually a hard thing, because you design a scene, and if it works great, you still want to putting that cap on it. You know, it's
puts a lot of pressure on a movie to end individual scenes in a movie that has no real plot. So, I mean, when we did end a scene on a good punchline, you know, I think we felt pretty good about it.
Now, when he walks, it's a midget with an Omar mask, and when he's standing still, he's just...
Omar.
It's Omar with a sunken.
We've got to rescue your father before it's too late.
But what are we going to do?
I was supposed to go.
Why does this all seem very slow? This is just. Is it actually?
Well,
they slowed down the projectors.
Yeah. On video, it's slower. The theaters. It had a great pace in theaters.
Man, were they?
But I must.
What was our running time?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you know, we previewed it in front of college audiences.
Where is the ticket?
Always worked better there.
Glove compartment.
Can you reach it from the inside? How about the other hand? Oh.
He was a good sport.
He was a good sport. Yeah, there's a little claustrophobic in there.
Listen, he sold this well.
Yeah.
And the antenna goes up.
But if you thought we were through with dick jokes,
you ain't seen nothing.
Never. Yeah. Never. Hey, my kids laugh big time at this. Very. They're pretty young, but.
Well, this actually came from a thing we did on stage. Kentucky Fried Theater.
Correct. Yeah.
Jim and Jerry and I would dance on the stage in back of the straight couple in front, and we would do the.
That's right. We would never ask an actor to do anything that we had not done ourselves.
That's right.
What did you use for the ballet dancers' erections in that scene?
Well, actually, you know, that's interesting. We took a mold of Jerry's penis.
Leading up to that, we previewed a lot of different versions of that, as I remember.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Which branch handles that in a movie? Is it costuming? Is it props? Is it makeup and hair?
That would be costuming.
And they actually came to you with samples of things that they could
different
use?
Different sizes and shapes.
It would be costuming, because the definition of props is anything an actor handles. maybe it would, actually.
But they had to work with the effects people, because, you know, obviously the ballerina's on wires, and, you know, she had to have a purchase.
Yeah.
So they worked together.
Now, in retrospect, you think we made them too big?
Sell that joke.
And our middle name was not Subtlety. It reminds me of the Olympics.
You know, there's a lot of stiffness in this movie. I just noticed there's a lot of people with just very bad takes, bad and slow takes.
Forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Keep them coming.
This is the prop room.
Yeah.
Here, we can get out this way.
Wait a minute. First you can explain a few things.
I'm not sure I can.
Now, this is a miniature that was left over from Superman that we found in the Pinewood storehouse. Originally, we were going to do stop-motion bugs, but we thought the rats would be cheaper.
Don't worry about me. I'm a guest of the government. I can explain everything.
Aren't we in the scene, Nate?
Oh, here we come.
Yeah, here we are. Yeah.
All in their young 20s.
Yeah.
Serious.
And a wise choice not to do more.
Yeah, we were never asked to be in another scene.
Martin. Boy, am I glad to see you. I've been here 20 minutes already.
Nick, I've tried everything. The embassy, the German government, the consulate.
I thought this is where we completely destroyed the plot.
I can't bring my wife to orgasm.
Gee, that's a shame, Martin. Have you tried one of these?
So, how did your kids enjoy this joke?
How did you explain this one?
I don't know. I had to leave the room. One of us had to go, and they wouldn't leave, so.
All I know is, after we left the cafe last night, I met a girl. Then later at the ballet, she's sitting all alone. And then all of a sudden...
When I saw Val Kilmer in jail in the movie, I thought sure there would be a Jailhouse Rock number. Did you have that planned, or is it just something?
Now you suggested, yeah.
That's right, what a great idea.
That could have saved the movie.
Yeah. That's what we needed, one more musical number.
Instead, all we could think of was the Anal Intruder.
Here's another weird question. Is there a Cuisinart on the shelf behind him in the jail cell?
Well, they're very well.
Where did it go? In the later scene.
Oh.
Did that kind of take you out of the movie?
Well, we have a rule called that didn't happen, I guess. So if it stayed there, people would start to notice it, and maybe, you know.
It was our comment on how fleeting these new inventions are. And our society is such a consumer society.
Ipso facto, pro forma, pari passu, hic haec hoc.
You know, there's a real danger in doing jokes from movies that nobody else has seen.
There was a scene
where a priest led a guy and was reading him his last rites as they were going, and we thought, oh boy, wouldn't it be funny at the end to have the priest get killed.
Yeah. It was a surprise.
Was it worth 5 minutes?
Well, the rule always was supposed to be that if we're going to send up a movie, that the scene should be funny enough on its own, so if anyone in the audience didn't get the specific movie reference, our scene would hold up on its own. And so there are lots of scenes in Top Secret which harken back to obscure 1940s World War II movies that nobody in the world could... or very few people would remember.
It still should be in profit, though, by now.
Yes, I see. Well, let me know if there's any change in his condition. He's dead. I'm afraid you leave me no alternative but to introduce you to two of my associates. Bruno is almost blind, has to operate wholly by touch. Klaus is a moron who knows only what he reads in the New York Post.
Oh, well, we got them. Pretty much drove them out of business.
Scam me. My manager is on his way right now to the American consulate.
Do not be so sure, Mr. Rivers. Evidently, your friend did not realize that here in East Germany we use 220-volt cartons. He was found in his hotel room, impaled upon a large electrical device. Our surgeons did what they could, but it took them 2 hours just to get the smile off his face. Perhaps the American has chosen to reconsider. Make sure they leave no marks. Ich liebe dich, mein Schatz.
Jeremy Kemp played it straight.
Yeah,
he did.
his punches are missing by miles.
Close.
It's unclear what they wanted to say.
What does he hear?
We neglected that when we were trying to arrange the plot. What information is he trying to get from him?
No. No, I haven't studied. Oh, no. I'm back in school. I can't believe I'm back in school.
Thank God.
Well?
They're still working on him. He won't break. They've tried everything. Do you want me to bring out the Leroy Neiman paintings?
Were there other jokes you had in that place? Did you try any number of things that would induce torture before you settled on that?
We were just so damn sure that that was a showstopper.
I'll bet that we tried, when we were writing, we went through 25 things. See, now we know why we cut all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because the film is getting pretty slow about now.
Who are you? What are you doing here?
My name is Nick Rivers. Who are you?
I am Dr. Paul Flamond. I am a prisoner here just like you, my son. You see, a year ago, I was close to perfecting the first...
Unprompted, he just went...
He just went into this.
You see?
He always has time to talk to a visitor. He's very polite.
Do you realize what...
Is this a little more information than you were looking for, son?
Yeah.
Wow. They'd have enough salt to last forever.
Well, then one night, the secret police broke into my house. They tore me from my family, ransacked my laboratory, and brought me to this dungeon.
That sucks.
For the first time in my life, I am ashamed of being a scientist.
What do you mean?
Well, at least he didn't say he was ashamed of being in a movie.
For the first time in my life. I'm ashamed of being in a movie. Please.
I've been acting for 73 years
and not forced to do this dialogue for a movie that's never going to go into profit. There's Corinne. See, there's
Corinne Russell, page three girl from The Sun.
Yeah.
Is this the Polaris mine?
Yes. By Sunday, I will be able to arm it with a nuclear warhead.
How does it work?
It is a magnetic mine. So powerful, it will attract itself to submarines miles away.
How about that?
Oh, no!
That was an amazing scene. It certainly wasn't a miniature.
No, that was like the real deal. Side. Yeah, it was on the, built on the back of a truck, I think, and they backed it in.
And it took two or three attempts to pull it off, didn't
it? It was one of each time they had to rebuild the wall.
Yeah, because in England everything is made with plaster. And so they had plastered the set to such a degree that even this truck going at 30 miles an hour with a submarine attached to it couldn't break through the wall of the set. So it had to be redone several times.
And still it didn't get a laugh.
Yeah.
This is the danger of a plot that just goes from now we have to go here, now we have to go there. Okay, this happens, so now we have to go there. And there's no real
it's great.
There's no real storytelling. It's just tying scenes together. How
silly can you get? Yeah. Now, these, actually, a lot of these shots of the audience were taken from documentary footage of Beatles audiences. We actually had the girls look at these.
It's all new. We shot all this.
The extras, the footage of the how the girls reacted to the Beatles.
Right.
You see in some of the close-ups. Yeah, like that.
This shot was taken from some documentary, I think, about Elvis.
Elvis,
yeah.
Oh, and the backup singers are in this. They were actually cast to look like Elvis's backup singers.
Right.
Which was a real stroke of genius.
But they,
and that worked big time.
But the middle guy looks like Zeppo. And the jackets matched Elvis's guys too.
Spend this night with. We spend a lot of money on the background in this.
Well, those jackets cost a lot.
Yeah. Well, and that drape.
The drape was flowed in from somewhere. In heaven we would be.
Spend the night with me. If you spend the time with me. Darling, I'm here to say, I pray there'll come a day when by my side you'll stay. And you will always be a love that's for me. You set my heart on fire. It's burning with desire. Your touch, your lips, your soul. You make me lose control, baby, please. Baby, please. Spend this night with me.
Oh, baby. Baby, please. Don't you understand? I need you. I can't live without you. I was going to say something I never said before. I even love you. Oh, it's just no use.
I think Val made some of this up, some of these.
Yeah, he goes
from thing to thing.
Yeah, as I recall, Val made a lot of stuff up.
I gotta have you with me. I'm in such a complete anguish without you. Oh, sugar gorgeous. Baby, I'm standing at the great abyss of love, and I'm teetering. Oh, Dumplin', I promise I'll even be nice to your mama. Baby, please, spend this night with me.
That was the escape.
The bikes were rigged up by our special effects man, Nick Alder, who's done a lot of big pictures over the years in England.
They escape on bikes.
That is no excuse. Search the road again.
We actually had that bird for dinner, I think.
Sign the eastern sector. I want the whole area sealed off.
So then this would be the eastern sector.
Eastern sector of Pinewood.
Yeah.
Is that the Hotel Geisloffen behind there?
Probably is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No. There's a used bookstore somewhere around here. The owner is a member of the Resistance. If we can find...
Resistance? Wait a minute. Don't you think it's about time you told me what this is all about?
I'm sorry. I guess I do...
Didn't we have a disagreement about whether that the pigeon was would poop at the end of the scene?
Yeah, you had a huge disagreement about that.
You guys discussed it on for length that night.
Did we?
Yeah, you did.
Whether she pooped. We ended up keeping it in somehow.
I think it pooped, yeah. I've
find him ever since.
Wait a minute. That's Dr. Flamand. I saw him yesterday in Flergendorf Prison.
Flergendorf Prison?
I think the argument was that we had gone 3 minutes without a real sophomore joke.
And so we needed some kind of a crap joke.
Went 3 minutes without any joke.
So the men were obviously on wires. This was before the days of CGI, and you had to hand paint out the wires on an optical printer.
So usually pigeons pee on poop on statues of humans.
We did the reverse.
We reversed it.
A clever reverse. Yeah. And then a good crap joke.
Just thought I'd explain it.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Here's the famous...
A lot of planning went into this.
Yeah. Scene. We rehearsed it for a whole day.
That's right.
And then we took a whole day to shoot it.
And the interesting thing was that the dog... I don't know if this is interesting, but the dog got tired of going to the bowl to eat at the end of the scene.
The highly paid stunt
dog. Right,
Jim. Yeah. So Peter Lamont went home and got his dog, that's the dog who wound up in the movie.
Yeah. Because he did take after take, yeah, he was, and never got...
He's still eating.
Lost the hunger, yeah.
I remember when the day we did shoot the bookstore scene, I think it was going very, very slowly. And I think we had gotten one rehearsal by the time we broke for lunch.
Oh, really?
And I walked up to Peter Cushing, and I said, not like the old days, huh, Peter? At Hammer, they would have had the scene shot and be striking the set by now. And he looked at me and smiled and said, at Hammer, they would have finished the picture and be starting the sequel by now.
That's funny.
Was it entirely backwards, shot backwards?
Yes. Yeah, it was one take shot backwards, and it was very difficult. We rehearsed. That was probably the only scene where we spent a whole day in pre-production rehearsing and shooting it, in fact, on video. We got ahead of a video machine that could be played backwards so that we could see it backwards to work
see what
it out.
The actors had to do.
And it was very difficult. And actually, one of the great things about Val is that he's actually a pretty good athlete, you know. And I mean, and not that this is athletic, but to catch those those books as they come down, because in reverse he's throwing them up. So when we shot it, someone from behind the bookcase pushed the book, and Val had to catch it and even catch it, but give it a little motion like he was throwing it, and he was actually able to, you know, to do that pretty consistently. So, but otherwise,
and do the reactions in reverse. He had to smile before he caught the book.
Oh, wow. That's
If you look at it, you see all that stuff is really strange. Yeah, he had to first smile with pride, like, hey,
his
pretty good,
and then
catch it, and then hand it to Peter Cushing. So
But he spent hours watching the original tape that we did forward, played backwards, so he'd get an idea of how his reactions were.
And it was the idea that the dialogue backwards would sound Swedish.
Yeah, well, that's how the whole
that's
thing was conceived.
About.
Dialogue backwards sounds like Swedish.
And was it real dialogue? If you played it forward, would it be the dialogue that would have been appropriate for that scene?
Yeah. It is actually.
He ravaged the island. The years passed, and as we grew up, we began to notice strange new feelings awakening within us. There was no one around to explain this. We had to learn by ourselves. Then one day he went fishing. That was the last I ever saw of Nigel. I spent months by myself on that island until I was finally rescued by a passing ship. I'll never forget my feeling of relief. You can't imagine what it's like to be separated from your family at such a young age.
I think I can. You see, when I was about 6 years old, my mama took me on a trip to the city. We went to one of those big old department stores, and I got lost. They tried to page you, but the PA system was on the fritz. I never saw my mama again. Some people from the cosmetics department fed me a bowl of soup and some bread. The days stretched into weeks. One February, they got pretty jammed up during the semi-annual Lincoln's birthday sale, and they asked me to help out in preteen maternity. Then one day, I overheard a conversation in personnel about them needing a new jingle for their radio ad. So I picked up my guitar, and I wrote down a tune that had been mulling and creeping and crawling around in my head. It went something like this.
Not close. Val always says whenever he goes on a talk show or something that he, you know, he learned how to play guitar. He spent all his time guitar lessons, and then we made him just do that fake strumming.
I guess we were thinking, wouldn't it be fun if Elvis Presley was in a World War II movie?
Is that what we were thinking?
Is that what you had in mind? An Elvis movie parody?
I think we started out with, we saw the ridiculousness of all those Elvis movies, mostly, Loving You, I think, and some of the early Elvis movies. And then we were also big fans of, the World War II German spy movies, mostly the ones that were done during the war. Where, they had in the ending credits, buy war bonds in this theater, and they were all, dropping behind enemy lines and getting into France, and, the German sentries who you could always sneak up on, and we always thought from watching these movies that if German sentries could hear, they would have won the war. And so we decided we didn't want to do one genre or the other, so we would combine them, and that's ultimately what really sunk it.
Now, in fact, that goes on to other fireplaces, but we cut it.
So the horse head is a puppet.
Yeah.
That was, yeah.
It's hard to get a horse to sing.
Yeah.
We rehearsed at the playback, and the puppeteers got the lyrics, rehearsed to the lyrics. I must leave you here.
This was, I think, the first day of
it was
shooting.
David, first day.
Is he all right?
Oh, he caught a cold the other day, and he's just a little hoarse.
Get your Mario.
Well,
it's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. But when I get home,
yes?
Well, now you've directed and written a lot of your movies together. How do you divide up the responsibilities with three people directing?
Well it's not really that difficult. It's just something that we've worked on for a long time.
We haven't done that in a long time. In fact, what happened, when
look at each other.
No.
Yeah. Well, Johnny, that was a no-look pass.
Yes, thank you.
That was.
Do you have a serious answer to that?
No, but there's a staple. That was a staple from like the 80s, I guess.
Yeah.
What do you want?
We want to see the torch.
No one is allowed to see the torch.
But we have important information about my father, Dr. Paul Tamond.
We shall see.
Thank you.
It's really so bizarre.
It's so bizarre.
What are we thinking?
Lonely hours. Once more, I would be able to gaze into your ravishing brown eyes. And who is this I should thank for bringing you back to me?
Oh, Nigel. This is Nick. Nick Rivers. He's a friend.
Forgive us, Mr. Rivers, if we have been less than hospitable. But recently we've had reason to believe that there's a traitor. Somewhere.
Guys, they didn't invite us in. They had a laugh track.
Yeah, it was like, remember the time when we first got to L.A.? We were invited to a taping of a sitcom somewhere, and we noticed the four guys sitting, standing around a monitor, just laughing hysterically. We asked, who are those guys? And somebody said, those are the writers.
Do you actually each take turns directing scenes, or do you have different responsibilities that you how does it work?
Not anymore.
What I mean to say is, who gets to wear the job furs and hold the writing?
Most of the real heavy lifting about directing is done before you get onto the set. The writing, the casting, selecting of costumes, of picking the music, all that stuff, working out the shots. And
when we first started, we were all very worried, mostly not about getting the job done, because we had done stuff in tandem. I mean, we had directed live theater and we had put a lot of our humor was on videotape, because we had videotape in our live theater, and so we had really directed together for a long time, so we weren't worried about we had no worries about the process. It seemed completely smooth and natural to us. We had concerns about the actors, and because we didn't want to scare anybody off, but actually once we got into it, it's just like everybody got completely comfortable with it, and we just, because for the three of us, I wouldn't necessarily just advise any three people to go and direct the movie together, because it is kind of a difficult thing for three people to have one vision. But in this case, it was a style of comedy that we all kind of created together, and so our arguments were not about where we were going, but just how to fix it and how to get it where we all knew we wanted it to go. And so in that sense, it just, the collaboration just made it stronger. And I think at the time, three sort of naive guys coming from Milwaukee and not being too confident that we could direct a major motion picture, doing it together gave us the confidence to do it. And I think I'm done.
The other part of that is too, if you have three people, because all the movies that we worked on together, that we directed together, all came in on time and on budget, and I think part of that is because you think if there are three people sort of with a single vision, then the director is really three times as accessible. So one person can be talking to an actor, and another to a wardrobe person, and another to,
it's really quite efficient.
Yeah.
What the hell is this stuff?
Gasoline.
Don't worry, my darling. I'm sure your friend will get over it. He seems a good chap, really. But Hillary, how wonderful that you've returned to me now, when I so desperately need you by my side to fight for the cause. Our cause.
Oh, Nigel, I am proud of you. But I'm so confused. All these years I thought you were dead.
And by all rights I should be. I floated at sea for days, nearly unconscious. And then, as luck would have it, I was picked up by a passing freighter. Of course, I tried to get them to come back to save you, too. But it was a foreign ship, and they didn't understand English. I yelled and screamed, but it only seemed to excite them all the more. They took advantage of me in ways that I cannot describe.
Oh, Nigel, it must have been awful.
Pinewood Studios is a famous, wonderful studio. Was it fun to work over there? Was it different from working here?
Yeah. Well, there are significant differences. First of all, their work days are much shorter. So I think the average work day, they start at 8:30, break an hour for lunch in the middle of the day, and wrap by 5:30. The other amazing difference was
at Pinewood, they had this wonderful cafeteria, and for lunch, everybody would have these huge meals of meat and potatoes and big schooners of beer and wine and stuff, and it would put me asleep if I tried to do that.
But, yeah, finally, I remember you just stopped having lunch. You would not enter that room for
really?
Lunch. Yeah.
They were just, because it was too delicious.
That's when you started that, the lunch cult. Jim would go off somewhere and eat lettuce or whatever you had, and people started to join you. I think Hunt got in on it. And John, yeah.
I think she wrote a book, didn't
yeah.
she?
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah,
I collected the train series.
Now, this is in Black Park, which is an area right near the studio where so many things have been filmed. The Robin Hood television series was mostly filmed in Black Park.
Huh.
And whenever they needed a nearby location, they would always go to Black Park. A little tic-tac-toe gag is, all the glass had to be pre-scored. In other words, it was plastic that was all pre-scored, so it would fall out that way. And it's a lot of practical gags.
Grenade! We're running out of time. The plane will not wait for us.
We'll have to make a break for it. Rendezvous at the cafe near the landing field.
Wait! Don't wait!
Do you have to watch the rest of it?
Nice shooting.
My man.
They were British, and so we had to teach those the black guys how to do a high five.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. The least qualified directors in Hollywood.
Three Jews from Milwaukee.
Trying to teach what it.
Good, you've made it. Now everybody's accounted for. Here's the plan. We'll be taking off at 0100 hours.
Do we have to watch?
A truck will drive by at exactly midnight. On the back and be driven onto the border.
Well, but wait a minute. It never stops.
Inside of the prison.
Well, Monsieur Rivers, it seems that you have become, how do you say, indispensable?
Indispensable.
That's what I thought.
Sorry, fellas. I've done my time in Pflugendorf prison. I got a truck to meet.
Nick, you can ask any price you want, but you must help us.
Seems as long as I know my way around that prison, I'll never be lonely.
Nick, I know how you feel about me. But I'm asking you to put
a lot of the cheese was on little spindles that would unroll and come through the little holes cut in the tables for the cheese stretching pizza gags.
Oh, Nick, you must help us. If not for me, for the cause of freedom.
Latrine! The traitor in our midst.
Well done, Latrine.
Now, you're all from the same area in Wisconsin. I assume you were probably high school.
We went to the same high school
together.
Shorewood, Wisconsin.
When did you start goofing around like this? When did you start realizing, hey, we've got senses of humor?
Actually, our fathers were business partners at one time. And our sisters...
Abrahams and Zucker Real Estate.
Yeah.
Wow.
And our sisters were roommates, were best friends and roommates in college. And the families were friends.
And did you, just happen to figure out that you were funny? Were you guys the class clowns?
I think we were pretty much the...
We always had a sense of humor. I think, we were class clowns. We were always
cutting up in class and goofing off and making people laugh.
Yeah, one of Jerry's teachers said to him once, Zucker, you know, someday I'm going to pay to see you, but right now, shut up and sit down.
Wow, that's an interesting Mr. Rinka. Obviously, Dave and Jerry grew up in the same house, so they clowned around together for years, and we actually sort of connected, you know, on this level when in the late 60s.
I was working as a construction expediter, and Jim was working as a private investigator.
And he so and David said, you know, I've got this videotape, and I'm not even sure I knew what videotape was. I mean, in those days, videotape was on these big decks and all that stuff. And so, do you want to come over, Jerry, and we'll just monkey around with this videotape, and the three of us, and have fun. And that's sort of how it started.
Yeah, my father knew somebody who owned a videotape machine, and he wanted David to get into industrial videos. He thought there was a real, you know, that was something, because David had graduated in radio, TV, film from Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin, and you know, but David had no interest in that. And one day saw
I went down to Chicago to see a. Well, it was in the early version of the Groove Tube, where you go into a loft in Old Town in Chicago, and they had a Coke machine at one end of the room and a video monitor at the other, and they showed about, you know, 80 minutes of video, just short video sketches, and everybody sat on a huge waterbed in the middle of the room. That's what they did, and it was in 1971. And I thought, well, now that's what I could do with the videotape.
So I was So I was at the University of Wisconsin at the time, going to school, and still in school. And I there's the knock on my door, and David has driven directly from Chicago to Madison, and he's raving and raging about this. We can do this. We can, because Dad has got this video machine that Dad said we could have, and we could do this thing, and it's really funny.
Charge admission.
He said we could charge admission. He was just...
And
he was,
your mom could make the curtains. It was literally...
He was a madman.
We got that old barn. We got those costumes. We got these chairs.
Yeah.
Let's do a show.
So I said, well, oh, gee, really? Well, yeah, I guess. And so,
yeah, well, exactly well, what you said.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true beaver fashion.
Yeah.
Well, gee, Wally, I guess you're right.
I guess you're right. I'm a comic. It'd be pretty neat. Anyway, so David, it was just happened to coincide. It was just before Easter break. And David, you know, ran into Jim. And
I had already run into Jim before that.
Before the show?
Before I went down to Chicago.
Before.
And we were saying, yeah, we should do a film. We were talking about maybe we could do a film and maybe enter it in a film festival or something. But then when I saw this, I drove to Madison, then drove back to Milwaukee and called Jim.
Got it.
And Jim knew another friend of his that was a teaching assistant at the University of Wisconsin, Dick Chudnow, and so the four of us started this.
We do one of those jokes, we hold it up so clearly. It's like
just in case
anybody might not see it, every letter. So the four of us found ourselves in the basement of our house in Milwaukee with a videotape machine. And videotape was amazing. We had done little Super 8 movies, but videotape was amazing because you could see what you'd done instantly, and you could erase it. And you could get a whole hour on a tape as opposed to a 3-minute reel, and you'd have to have it developed, and it was expensive. And here, you know, you just buy a few of these reels, and you could just endlessly videotape. And also, it had the sound right on it, which at the time, even in Super 8, it was a little cumbersome recording sounds. And dealing and too expensive, and so we were just.
Forgot about that.
Yeah,
it just allowed us to play and goof off. And after a couple of weeks, at the end of Easter vacation, we had 20 minutes of stuff that was funny, and so we started to show it to people, and they started to laugh. We should have Super 8 here. Okay, only 10 minutes left.
Rocky Name Castle.
That
was a fun location.
It was. It was a couple hours outside of London.
good now.
Yeah, yeah.
These are, I like this story.
Yeah, I love this.
Me too.
How did they do that?
With a large cardboard cut out of a binocular.
Oh, yeah. You had to explain it.
Oh, no.
I was there.
Every morning at 7:15, the prison guards bring the cows from here up this road towards the prison for their morning milking.
Are there any other serious actors you've always wanted to...
Every time we made a parody, through the gate in the electrified fence, I think every single movie, the first guy we would go to is Charlton Heston. And every time, he would very politely, very nicely, you know, write letters of no.
I remember we had lunch with Jack Webb.
Oh my God.
We begged Jack Webb to be an airplane.
Oh my God, that would have been something.
But he finally, but he just, he was very nice. He came in and had lunch and really as a favor to Howard W. Koch. And he's just, he said, I think this is really funny and I wish you guys well, but it's not for me.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Now, here's a good pun.
What's the plan, Watts? Forget that. I'm giving the orders here. Now, to shut up and give me the back half.
All right. Be an asshole.
Hey, where's the good pun?
Why?
No, no, I'm kidding. No. That was fun.
He'll say, come.
Okay, let's move out.
Good old Elsie.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah.
This is like, I think Cal's the star. And then the marketing.
There were several cars, weren't there? Cows?
But the one, the spots, that was, she did it best in all the, she was the
that
best.
That was the white cow we painted the spots on.
And Tom Jacobs spent all of his time with that cow.
Yeah.
It's just ahead. Where are
the guards? The marketing people, of course, fell in love with the cow. Get out there, girl. That became the poster.
That's right.
Stay behind the guards. As soon as we get round this corner, we'll break away from the herd. Okay? Now!
A lot of the cow was shot second unit because it takes a little time to work with cows.
Cows are not smart animals.
No, it's about days of shooting to get these shots.
But to get that one to go past the thing and then reverse its direction in, that, in a second, that was pretty
good. To get it to do anything.
Yes. So this is a different cow here.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Because it was a mama cow.
Oh, yeah.
Had a cow.
Stunt cow.
Stunt cow. Sorry.
I was in such a bloody rut. I just wanted to stop to take a...
Chris is perfect here.
Yeah.
How hard was it to get the boots on the cow?
That was a big deal.
Yeah. I would think. I think we tried several versions.
And several cows.
Numerous
designs on the boots.
But what finally worked is those boots had no bottoms, right?
They were Velcroed, I remember.
Yes, but they had no. Dave was right. They had no bottoms.
Right.
We tried. Yeah. I remember this is. It's like the things you have to do
in
preparing a comedy. We actually had to go out to this farm and try boots on cows. I mean, it was actually.
I wish you had done a documentary.
It's too bad. We should have videotaped. Yeah. You know, but we were actually sitting there trying these boots on cows, and they would just kick them off instantly. They didn't want anything to do with them. And finally someone came up with the idea of just taking the bottoms out. You couldn't really quite tell, and Velcroing them around, and then they were all right with them. And cows are not the easiest animals to work with. They're not bright. You know, you think getting a dog to eat is difficult. Cows are you know, just have to kind of luck out some of the time, which we did.
Was it raining every day?
I think so.
Well, it rained a few minutes every day.
Lovely.
God,
just huge swings.
You all right now? I'm here. Oh, yeah, he's all right. Hey.
Jimmy went to...
You know what? The best was when we went to Deauville to promote the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And the photographer's taking pictures of us with the cow.
Yeah, we had to pose with the real cow.
And the photographer says, okay, now... And we were pretty compliant and stuff. And okay, now kiss the cow. And Jerry said, no, you kiss the cow.
I guess I had to pose with
one,
had
for one too many pictures with the cow.
You kiss the cow.
Oh, well.
We're going to turn the power back on.
But that will set off the alarms. The others will be trapped. I refuse.
And I think this is a separate cow here, too, because she was in heat.
Now move.
This is a cow who could turn around.
And as fate would have it,
before you launch into a movie like this, do you screen a lot of old movies that you want to choose from or get some ideas for?
Yeah,
we collected dozens of these old black and white World War II movies.
Was the battle scene an homage to the battle scene in Duck Soup?
I have to say that I don't think we ever did an homage to any comedy, and we had lots of favorites, and we loved the Marx Brothers and others, but I think that the things where and there are many things that are taken from other movies in Top Secret, but they're all from comedies, serious movie, never from comedy.
And actually, I mean, the Naked Guns were less parodies than, you know, just comedies. You know, straight ahead slapstick comedies. The Hot Shots were probably more parody than the Naked Guns, but still, the Hot Shots existed more on, you know, just the jokes and just a straight ahead comedy and slapstick.
Very clever,
than a parody to the extent that Top Secret or Airplane were parodies.
Unfortunately, it's too late for you and the others.
I do not want you.
Oh, it wasn't very difficult. I suppose I could have returned to rescue you from that wretched island, but it would have meant leaving my newfound comrades.
I remember David teaching
Nigel
Chris how to walk like this.
They told me all about you. Oh, remember we showed up and they had the tree
the huge crane
and everything, and all we needed to have was
it didn't work.
Yeah,
trying to get a tree to fall down.
Joe would say that if your first sign that there's a problem for the day, if you see a crane on the side.
Yeah.
Something is wrong. Where's the truck?
Where's Hillary?
I'm hungry.
Do quoi?
We actually, you know, I should just digress to your question about watching old movies. I mean, as I remember our process, when we start a film, we'd have a generalized genre, specific, you know, we'd say, okay, Airplane, flying, we'd do a flying movie, or in the case of Top Secret, we sort of had this general idea of World War II Elvis. So we just start screening all these movies, and I think at the beginning of the process, we weren't sure where we were going or, you know, exactly what we wanted to do. So we may have expanded it at some point, but we did. When we were doing satire, we just saw old movies, and a lot of times the best movies would be movies that were laughed laughable, but yet movies that we had some affection for, and many of them were made during the 40s and 50s, and they were a certain style of drama where they just took themselves very seriously. We found a hard time to parody movies where they were doing it sort of tongue-in-cheek or was a little too outrageous. But we would just sit and, you know, thank God for videotape. I don't think we would have written any of these movies, but we would just sit and watch these movies, and we would just come up with ideas for lines, scenes, just the kind of characters that we wanted to create. And then we'd start to actually put cards on a bulletin board when we would come up with a whole scene that we thought was a funny idea, but we didn't know whether it would be in the movie in the end. We just knew it would be a really funny scene. In the case of Top Secret, I think one of our problems was that we ended up just trying to connect all these scenes together, and the plot didn't really have its own inertia. It wasn't a good story if you remove the jokes, whereas if you look at Airplane, although it's not an innovative story, it is a classically plotted and structured film, and I think that was a big difference between those two movies.
And I think Top Secret has, in fact, many more jokes in it probably than Airplane, but Airplane had a stronger story.
This underwater part was actually shot in a tank at Pinewood Studios, about 15 feet of water, and I think it must have taken us 3 or 4 days to shoot this, because it goes very slowly underwater, and we had to make that breakaway. You know, it's we couldn't use the normal breakaway stuff because just the force of the water would break it before it hit. So like the chair was actually rigged. There was a lever he pulled that made it fall apart on contact. And there's Hunt is one of these guys at the table.
And they rehearsed it a long time. Just before they fill the tank, in the tank, and in a dry tank.
Then we do like a minute at a time.
And there's stunt people off camera holding oxygen tanks.
There's no more time. We've got to take off now.
I will not leave without my daughter.
Listen, old chap, in a few minutes it'll be dawn, and then we'll just be sitting ducks to their anti-aircraft guns.
Wait! There they are!
Father, thank God!
Here's a question I wondered. You tend to make some fairly offbeat leading lady choices. Valeria Golino, Priscilla Presley, in this movie, Lucy Gutteridge. A lot of these women don't seem to work much after they've been in your movie. Do you feel responsible?
I never thought about it that way.
Gee.
Well, is there a curse or something?
You know, it's hard after you've worked with the best, to go and just like work for Spielberg or Coppola or something like that.
And I remember, in particular, David being tenacious about, you know, there. will we make it or not, will we find the right person or not, but David did this search for the woman to rise up out of the sand, leaving two large breast holes in the sand, and he just kept going, you know, checking more and more and more. No, these women aren't good, and wouldn't let go until he'd found the right one.
I want you to be with me.
Interest rates fluctuate. Who knows?
Don't you want to come with me? If you don't say so, say it now.
Want? Want? More than anything. Take me with you. Goodbye, Chocolate Moose. I'll never forget you. Goodbye, Dupois. Take care of yourself. Goodbye, Deja Vu. I'll always remember you. And I'll miss you most of all, Scarecrow.
You should have just printed "Thank God" in the end.
But there's a tag at the end, isn't there? Or something.
I think that's it.
Why is it?
It's funny how that stuff is just so. You know, you could splice, you know, edit together a great 25-minute movie out of it.
Yeah. Have times changed a lot, or why did they release this to be in June?
Well,
I mean, that's
there were a lot fewer movies.
Really?
Released in the summer then, I think. And then I think
summer's a good time for a comedy. Why did they release it?
June, period.
Yeah.
But June is such a, at least now, it's such a competitive month, and that's when all the real heavy duty stuff comes out.
Yeah. No, things have changed a lot.
Yeah. But, you know, the people that see it now on video think that it must have been a success. I mean, they really, I mean, I think it's my understanding that people like it.
It's an ideal movie for video because you can watch, you know, 10 minutes. Yeah, right.
You can scan it. And they have no idea that it didn't do well at the box office.
If they had only had fast forward in the theater, this was released in 1984.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's very, very slow.
Yeah.
It is a problem when you don't care about anyone.
And there's no story.
And there's no story. Thinking about a little Valentine,
what's a lonely boy to do? So here's this telegram I got from Paramount. It's regarding the main and end titles. It says, received your latest version of main and end titles yesterday PM and immediately circulated them for comments. We'll get back to you soonest with comments. And then it says, what are the following credits? Focus Loader, Clapper Puller, Puller Clapper, Clapper Clapper, Flipper Flapper, and Haberdasher. Please advise. Alex wants Dashiell Hammett credit deleted, i.e. she wants someone more dead.
Oh, well.
Sincerely, Paramount.
Yeah, that's a good ending.
Yeah.
First wave, get on that. Second wave, pull the trap. Third wave, how's that? I wish they all could be double barrel. Wish they all could be double barrel guns. Skeet serving, can't you see? Do you wanna come along with me? Skeet serving, can't you see?
I can't believe it's true. I met a girl like you. In heaven we would be. If you would spend this night with me.
If you would spend this night with me.
Darling, I'm here to say, I pray there'll come a day when by my side you'll stay, and you will always be a love that's true to me.
You set my heart on fire, it's burning with desire. Your touch, your lips, your soul, you make me lose control. Baby, please,
baby, please, baby, please.
spend this night with me. Baby, please spend this night with me.